Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everybody, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. And before we get started, as always, we want to thank our sponsors, the folks over at Markham Search LLC, which make our show possible every week. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States and in some international locations as well. So thank you so much to our partners and sponsors over at Markham Search. Today we have with us on the show Dave Woodward. Dave is the Chief Business Development Officer and Chief Revenue Officer for ClickFunnels, the revolutionary online sales and marketing software designed as a simple-to-use, all-in-one marketing solution for entrepreneurs and business owners who want to market their services and products online. Dave hosts the weekly ClickFunnels podcast, hashtag FunnelHackerRadio. For more information, you can go to clickfunnels.com. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dave.
I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, from one podcast host to another, it's always fun to get to talk to people who host their own shows. So when you were a young boy, was it your dream? I know for me, when I was a little girl, I remember my best friend Bjerk and I used to sit there with like a tape recorder and record ourselves pretending we were on the radio. What was it like for you? Did you always know this would be your life path?
No idea at all. It's just it's one of those opportunities that kind of came my way, and it's been a lot of fun. I've had a lot of fun doing it, and I've appreciated the opportunity.
So tell me a little bit about your career. How did you come to work as the Chief Revenue and Business Development Officer at ClickFunnels?
Well, I've been an entrepreneur probably my entire life. I'm probably the most unemployable person out there, I guess. I always joke around about it. Like, it'd be very hard for me to get a job these days. I started off really doing a whole bunch of anything and everything to kind of make a buck early on. Found myself later just running an employee benefits firm and took it from Texas to California. We ended up selling that. I got involved in marketing, had a marketing consulting company, a mortgage company, real estate company. I've done a whole bunch of different types of businesses. Marketing consulting is really what I enjoy probably the most. And it kind of led me into, since we were doing so much with marketing and I had a bunch of clients, it really kind of led me into where I am right now. I absolutely love working with small to middle-sized business owners, helping them grow their businesses.
I love that. And, you know, it's so funny because I get a lot of press releases of different people who want to be on the show and different things. And the one that your publicist sent me that caught my attention is, what's your superpower? How does it get any sexier than that? So tell me a little bit about this concept of what's your superpower and how the heck do we even figure out what that is?
Oh, that's a great question. I think for a lot of people, your superpower is really the thing that you know you're just really good at. It's the thing that when everything else goes to the wayside, that's kind of you fall back on, you know, if all else fails, I know I can do this. And I know for a lot of people, it's kind of, well, how do I actually find out what that is? I think the easiest way to find out what that is to just identify what are the things you enjoy doing that you actually get paid to do. I mean, there's a lot of superpowers where we just can't get paid for it. But I look at it as far as, you know, sitting there and watching video games or things of that sort, you're probably not going to get paid too well for that these days. But I can tell you that for me, it's been more a matter of really finding out what is the thing that you enjoy the most that's a skill that actually people would pay you for. And then to really double down on what your strengths are and outsource your weaknesses is kind of the main thing that we look at these days.
Well, it's funny you bring up the video games thing, because I remember years ago when that, I think it's called Twitch, is that website that people use video gaming. And so literally, I think you can make just about anything into a revenue stream nowadays. I mean, look at all these great creations, Uber, Twitch, just different ways that people have ways to make money that maybe 5 or 10 or 15 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago, you couldn't have made money. But now all of a sudden you can turn it into a superpower and become a millionaire, billionaire, or whatever it is that your heart's desire is.
You know, it's so funny you mentioned that. I joke around about the whole video game thing, because I've had my kids, I've watched my kids watching YouTube videos of someone else playing a video game. I'm like,
right?
Kids, you got to be kidding me. You just go play the game. Well, no, he's showing me all these different moves and these back doors. I'm like, but you can just figure that out yourself. And so you're right. There's But I think that's the part I enjoy most these days is you really can, if it's something you're really passionate about, you really can find a way of getting paid. And I think that's the key.
So let's play around with this for a second, because I think this is a great inquiry for us all to just kind of have fun with, is how can you tell, like at what point can you tell that something is a way to make money? Like the person who maybe first started Twitch, you know, that person might have just thought, oh, I wonder if anybody else wants to know these little video game hacks or whatever. Huh, I wonder if people would sponsor me or, you know, what that would look like. At what point do you actually go out and think, huh, maybe I should actually see if this is a way to make money, or is this something that I should focus on in my spare time and then do something else? How do you differentiate between those things?
Great question. I can tell you for me, I think one of the things these days that really allows people that opportunity of finding what that is the opportunity to publish on a regular basis. What I mean by that is whether it's on Instagram stories or Facebook Live or even on YouTube, it's amazing to me if you start publishing those things that you enjoy, and you'll soon find that other people are drawn to that. And one of the things we've done with ClickFunnels, our CEO, co-founder, Russell Brunson, wrote a book called Expert Secrets, which is kind of the underground playbook to finding your message, building the tribe, and changing the world. And it's all around that same thing where once you can find out what your message is and really identify what it is that you're trying to convey. And again, we've been joking around about this whole idea as far as, you know, Twitch or video games. The easiest way is to start publishing, start talking about it, asking people, would this be of interest to you? Would you be willing to pay for this? And it's surprising how, I mean, you take a look at all the Kickstarter types of things, all came up with that same idea with someone saying, you know what? What if I created this? Would someone pay? And I think as you start playing around with that, you'll find out how viable the product is. I'm a huge believer that peer groups or, you know, people voting with, you know, likes or thumbs up and thumbs down really doesn't cut it. What matters most is, can you get someone to actually pay you for it? And that's one of the, honestly, we look at online these days, probably the hardest thing to do is to get that first dollar online. Once you get that first dollar, then you've got trust with that person, that client, that customer, and you can build from there. But I think what I tell people is publish like crazy at first, get your idea out there, see if it's of value to people. And if it is a value, see if you can actually get money from them to actually validate exactly what you're trying to do.
Yeah, it's so funny we're having this conversation because I was just reflecting on it before we started the show of Get Yourself the Job, which is the name of the show, and how did I come up with that? And I forgot years ago that was the name of my blog. It's before I ever did a radio show or anything else. People just always had questions for me. And so somebody would come to me with a question of, how do you get a job? How do you interview? What if I did this? What if I don't want to be a job seeker? I want to own my own company. So every time I would get a question, I would just hop online, write a blog about it. And then 200, 300 blog articles later on getyourselfthejob.com, then all of a sudden it jumped over to, oh, well, now you got to turn that into a book. Oh, now you have to turn it into a show or a podcast. And it all just kind of evolves in a very natural way when there is a calling out there for it, you know?
You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. I was just talking to a friend about Rachel Hollis, and she did the exact same thing. She started with basically a food blog, and it's led into this crazy thing where she's, you know, one of the number one podcasts. She's got over 1.5 million books sold in the last 2 months. And it's been fascinating to me where, again, what you made mention of, Jennifer, I think is really an important point for a lot of people to pay attention to. And that is, if you start answering other people's questions, there's value there. And I think that's the biggest thing. When you start looking at your superpower, if you can find ways of answering other people's questions and providing that exchange of value, it will lead to something. And you just have to kind of, as you've done, just follow that path.
Yeah. And to your point, I remember just feeling like I was such a dunce. Here I was, like a kid in my 20s. And I remember my publicist back when I first started doing TV interviews had me wear glasses and do my hair almost like a gray so people would take me seriously in my 20s. People still make fun of me for my book cover. They're like, you look younger now. I'm like, that's because my publicist said I look, you know, too young and we had to olden me up for a little bit or whatever. I don't even think that's a real word. But it's funny because you don't think you're an expert. Like, I remember just being so insecure at the time of, oh my gosh, I'm not an expert on this. But, you know, I would answer one question and then people would say, oh, that was valuable, and answer another one. And so I know for me personally, I would say to anybody out there, the same is true when I started studying social media. It's not about being the expert. It's about being one step ahead of the guy or gal behind you and being able to disseminate that information and to share it. It all comes down to just starting from a place of passion and love of what you do and sharing it, right?
I totally agree.
So tell our listeners a little bit about, more about like discovering, are there any key ways, you know, we all think we have strengths. Are strengths and superpowers the same thing, or what differentiates a strength from a superpower?
Yeah, I look at, yes, you definitely have strengths. I think a superpower goes beyond just a strength. And I think for a lot of people, you can start off with that strength and try to find out if it is your superpower. And the easiest way of doing that is, again, goes back to some of the same things you were just talking about, Jennifer, and that is, if you can find a way of spending more time in that strength, if that strength begins to develop into something where people perceive it with enough value where they're able to exchange money for it, you know, that's a superpower that actually you can monetize. And that strength becomes, it's like anything else. The more time, the more efforts you put into that, the stronger that becomes. That's why anyone I ever talk to, I'm always telling them, you know, I always tell people, you know what, you just have to hire out your weaknesses. Everyone's always saying you need to strengthen your weaknesses, and I totally disagree. I am completely opposite camp. I think whatever my weaknesses are, I'm not going to spend any time on those, because I don't want to, for one, I don't like them. It's not something I enjoy, and trying to get better at it is a waste of my time. I'd much rather focus on what I'm already good at and get better at those things.
Yeah, you know, that's a great idea. And I remember reading a book many years ago that had a similar strategy in place. And it was the first time that I had ever been confronted by that, because from when you're a little kid, or even in the job hunting world, everybody always asks, what is your weakness? What is it that you're working on, et cetera? And I think, you know, to a certain extent, as human beings, we always have this opportunity to self-reflect whether or not we do it. But I think knowing your weaknesses, whether or not you choose to do anything with that, then allows you to become more successful and to strengthen your superpower. Because if you don't even know something is a weakness and you're going out there all day, every day, trying to pretend like it's a superpower, you're going to keep bumping into the same problems or obstacles because it's a blind spot for you almost. Does that make sense?
I totally agree with you. Totally agree.
Yeah, so I think it's just an opportunity to kind of look for your blind spots. And like you said, I mean, Napoleon Hill is one of my favorite authors from years ago, Think and Grow Rich. And, you know, he talks about some of the greatest millionaires back in the day at the turn of the last century. And he talks about how some of these people, Carnegie, Ford, whoever it might have been, said that it wasn't about being the best or the brightest. I think the example he gave in the book might have been Ford. And he said, you know, you surround yourself with the people who make up for your weaknesses, and you bring those people into the fold. So that way, if you're not an expert at X or Y, you hire somebody on board, or you get a team member or a business partner who does complement that side of you.
Oh, I completely agree with you on that. It's been probably the thing that's helped us to grow as fast as we've grown is that exact area, where instead of spending a whole bunch of time and energy trying to get better at certain tasks or things, whether it was, it could have even been as simple as social media. It's easier for us just to hire that out as far as the traffic or to do different things, because otherwise I'm going to spend a whole bunch of my time and effort in an area that's not going to be that productive for me. And it's actually going to slow me down and prevent me from actually excelling in the areas that I'm best at.
So tell our listeners a little bit, if they're not familiar with ClickFunnels, a little bit about what the company does or how it supports people. I know you and I were talking offline before a little bit about entrepreneurs versus intrapreneurs, and if you could differentiate that a little bit for us.
Sure, that's a couple of questions here. Let me see if I'll address the ClickFunnels one, and then we'll go into the entrepreneur and intrapreneur.
It's like drinking out of a fire hose.
As far as ClickFunnels, what it does, ClickFunnels is a online software tool that allows people the opportunity of, if anybody's out there trying to either generate a lead or sell something online, ClickFunnels is for them. And what is it literally is, we joke around these days, lightheartedly actually, but about this whole concept as far as the death of the website, where we see people go to a website these days and they just get lost. And we're finding a ton of business owners who are trying to build websites and they're not making any money off of them. And so the whole idea behind ClickFunnels is it's an online sales funnel where, and probably the best example I can give you is that of McDonald's. And if you go to McDonald's and you go through the drive-through there and order a Big Mac, it may cost you, I don't know, a couple bucks. They're only going to make, you know, $1.85, $1.86 or so on that burger. It costs them that much just to get you there. But where their real revenue comes in is when they ask, well, do you want fries and a Coke with that? That's what we refer to as it's an upsell. That one little thing from a profitability standpoint, instead of making 15 cents, they may make $2 on that just because of the opportunity they had. They paid to get you there. Now that they're there, what else can they add on? And then as well, do you want to biggie size that? Well, yeah, then it's going to be this much more. And so all of a sudden, that 14, 15 cent profit that they had by getting you in and getting you a burger now jumps up to $2 and $3. And now because of that, they have, you know, millions of locations around the world or what seems to be that many. And that's really what a sales funnel is. People see them all day long. If you go to Amazon.com and you buy a product, the very next thing you see is, well, people who bought this also bought this. And it's the whole idea where what we find is, as I mentioned earlier, the hard thing is to get that first dollar online. Once a person's giving you that first dollar, the next dollar is much easier because you've already have trust. You've had an exchange of value. And so what ClickFunnels does is simplifies the process of putting those products together for you. So you can, when you go to ClickFunnels, you can create your own landing page and or the first page of that funnel where you may just be capturing an email address, or you may be one of the things like at expertsecrets.com. You can get a free book. You just pay for the shipping and handling of Russell's book, Expert Secrets. And then the very next thing is, well, do you want an audiobook with that? Well, yeah, I do. So you click one button and it charges you that extra amount for that. And so ClickFunnels has all the landing pages on the front end. It then has the shopping carts, but most importantly, it has all the follow-up sequences on the back end, whether you want to communicate by email or Facebook Messenger. And it's all built as templates. It's already done for you. All you have to do is just change the pictures and change the words. And at the same time, for those who are real experienced, they can build out they can change and tweak it as much as they want.
Got it. Well, that makes sense because, again, it's about streamlining things. And for somebody who might not be a tech savvy, you might have a great message to get out there to the world and it might be daunting. So is something like ClickFunnels, for example, specifically only for entrepreneurs then?
No, and I think that kind of leads into your other question about the entrepreneur versus the intrapreneur. And it kind of ties into also that superpower. So first of all, we look at as far as the entrepreneur is the person who's got the idea, who starts his own business, takes on all the risk, and is really the pioneer almost in the industry going out and trying to make something happen. You mentioned the person who started Twitch. He's the entrepreneur. He's trying to create this whole thing. The intrapreneur is one of the things we look at whenever we're hiring. And that is, we want someone who is very self-motivated. An A player in our book is the person who has an amazing skill set, very self-motivated, and at the same time, also kind of wants to have their own thing on the side. And so we see a lot of our employees who will use our platform, use our service to sell other things, or even building a list, as you made mention with your blog. One of the most important things is starting to build a list of people who are coming to your blog, and then communicating with them as new blog posts come out or whatever else may come up. So for us, the intrapreneur is the person who actually typically works for either an entrepreneur or another business and is out there focusing, building the business, but at the same time, taking the skills they're learning, possibly making those into their own superpower, and then monetizing those outside the office. And that works extremely well for anybody using ClickFunnels, where it's very easy to, they can create an account for free. There's a 14-day free trial. And when they do that, they literally are given three funnels that are already done for them. And so whenever a person goes to clickfunnels.com, they actually can answer a couple of survey questions. It'll tell them which niche or industry they're in. And then we just give them the funnels already pre-built. They just change the pictures and change the text to work for them. But I think the real big thing when you're looking at tying back to this whole intrapreneur, there's a lot of people out there, especially these days, who don't want all the risk. They like the 9-to-5. They like some stability in their life. At the same time, they have this passion. They've got some desire, something out there where they're like, I've always wanted to do this. And it could be, I've got a friend who loves travel, and her weekends is basically going out and exploring the area. And she does a little travel site and has a membership area for local people in the area who want tips and tricks of what to do in the local area for the weekend. And so she's making money on that. It's funny. One of our weirdest ClickFunnels pages we've had recently is actually a person who has Bigfoot expeditions up in the state of Washington.
That is amazing.
And so that's, they literally have a page where people come in, they sign up to go on an excursion, and he takes them out on excursions once a month to go try to find Bigfoot. And that's, again, I think it's the freedom these days that the internet provides to people to have their own side business without having to give up all the security of their job.
Got it. And what sort of investment does it take? Say that you want to start Bigfoot expeditions in Northern California. You know, Bigfoot is definitely not Washington. Bigfoot, I know, I've seen Bigfoot. He's in Northern California. I want to start my ClickFunnel. How? What sort of investment does that take somebody? Hey, there, Bigfoot is a real thing. I mean, come on.
It is. It is indeed. So it's $97 a month basically to get them set up for everything they need to get started.
Great. Very great. And so a lot of people, so it sounds like there's two different directions that people might take it. One is you might have somebody who's already in a 9-to-5 job. And I know I get asked this a lot in the recruiting world, you know, just from people in general who, for whatever reason, maybe they got themselves in debt or they want to, you know, pay off a credit card or something might be going on. And in some cases, people might Uber drive or do another gig economy sort of thing to make ends meet. But it sounds like if you can identify what your superpower is, connect to whatever that passion or hobby or whatever it is, like travel, for example, like you gave that, and then find a way to monetize that on the side in addition to whatever you do in your day-to-day life is one possibility, right?
Absolutely.
And then it sounds like perhaps the other direction that people could go, say you're a visionary or an entrepreneur and you know that the 9-to-5 job is not for you, that maybe you just wake up every day and say, oh my gosh, my heart and soul will be crushed if I have to go into an office from 9-to-5 every day. Then on that side, if you have a passion, then it's about devoting, you know, maybe the 40 hours a week that you would spend in an office to fully developing the funnel. And it sounds like perhaps there's different streams that people could use in order to take that to a higher level. Does that make sense?
Definitely. You're exactly right. And I think you know, part of that is as they come in any type of a sales funnel, and we talked about getting those first few dollars, but then it's a matter of where you're going to take them from there. What's the rest of your sales ladder going to look like? So you have an introductory product, and then from there, what's the next step? And it's typically these days we see a lot of things that are, you know, done with you or is not as expensive as being done for you. And so we have people who will provide services where they'll do it with them. But if they want to have it done for them, it's a much more expensive service. And so it allows people the opportunity of building out their business. We've got 67,000 customers. There's not an industry or niche I haven't seen these days. and it's been fascinating for me to see. I mean, we have very large companies who are actually franchise companies, and they're using the platform to help sell franchises and then to communicate with their franchisees. There's membership sites in there, so all of their documentation is behind a secure gateway, and they have access to all that kind of content. I've seen people who, we have what we refer to as our 2-comma club. Those people have made over $1 million in a funnel. We've got over 350 of them now that have done that, and you know, 26 that have done over $10 million in a funnel. And it's fascinating for me. We've seen, got a friend of ours actually up in Northern Canada, and he ends up, his is a nonprofit summer camp for kids. And which is kind of a weird thing. You know, most people don't think nonprofits make that much, and they were struggling at first and weren't able to make it. And they were able to actually take that business, and they now received a ton of awards in Canada for nonprofit status and actually teaching other nonprofits how to generate leads and how to convert those leads and how to get more people to the camps and how to provide more greater value. And he was a high school teacher who basically met his wife at that summer camp, and the summer camp was closing its doors. And they came to him and said, hey, would you be interested in helping us out? He's like, I don't know anything at all. And he got Russell's book, Expert Secrets, and from that started doing one thing after another. And within a year, they'd done over $1 million helping kids go to summer camp. So it's pretty fascinating to see.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it too, is I know having been an entrepreneur for myself, you know, over the last 10 years or so, is that sometimes you wake up or it's the middle of the night and, you know, you have this genius idea or you connect to your superpower. Or somebody even tells you during the day, you're really great at X, you should do this. And I know where I got stopped just as being a human being is you say, I don't know how to do that. Okay, great. So Russell did that or Dave did that. but that doesn't seem viable. So it's, I just think it's interesting that nowadays, with all of the different tools we have access to, like things like ClickFunnels, you now have the capacity for somebody else to streamline and implement a process and to not have to rebuild something from the ground up.
I totally agree with you. And I think that is probably the most exciting time that we live in these days, is you don't have to know it all, and you don't have to start from scratch. There's, again, things like ClickFunnels and other tools that are out there where you literally can get started right away, and there's enough people there to actually help you along the way that you actually can have success very quickly.
And so from a strategy standpoint, or any of our listeners who might be tuning in right now and thinking, oh, God, you know, I have this cooking idea or this or that idea. I know you said it starts off at $97 a month. What percentage of people of the 67,000 make that much money or more back? In other words, it pays for itself every month. Do you have any idea about that?
I guess I don't have an actual number, but $97 a month is a really small amount to make inside of a sales funnel. So I would assume, again, it's like anything else. I guess those people who are actually using the software, I would say all of them are. We have people who have been on a paused account, and they're probably not. But I think, honestly, it might take you a month or two to kind of get things going.
Of course,
but,
yeah.
Once you get things going, $97 is really not that much to – you'd be surprised. I appreciate you bringing that up, because I think the hardest part for a lot of people is when they think of their own superpower or what they might be good at is they undervalue what that is worth to other people. And so because of that, they don't charge as much.
True.
We had a conversation the other day with a person who was literally providing a ton of service. And I was like, I would pay five times what you're charging me. And he's like, oh, well, I just feel bad taking money from people. I'm like, but at the same time, if you don't charge enough, there's the flip side of the coin where people are like, I don't think it's very good if I don't pay more. And I think that for most people, especially once you get a few clients, and I always say, the easiest thing is to do whatever you're going to do, do it for free. Get a customer, get a testimonial, and use that testimonial. And you'll be surprised when you go back to that person and say, I did this service for you for free. If you were to pay for it, how much would you pay?
They're
like, I would pay, $400, $500, $2,000, $5,000. You're like, oh my gosh, I never thought it would be that value to you. And I think that the biggest problem most people have is they undercharge for their superpower, because to them, they feel like everybody has it and they don't value what they currently have.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I remember I was charging peanuts when I was doing career consulting per hour compared to what you do now. And, even nowadays for speaking, I do speaking around the country, and my CEO of my whole company came in. He's like, oh, you're not charging enough. You need to charge a day rate, and here's what it includes.
Yeah.
I was charging a lot. And, to your point, it's about understanding and owning your value proposition. I'll never forget, I was at a workshop in San Francisco, and it was all very similar about how to build your sales funnel and so forth, but from a person-to-person sort of standpoint. And one of the exercises, mm-hmm. we're at this conference hotel at like the Hilton SFO, and they said in the middle of the class, they stopped us. They said, we want you to go out right now into the lobby. We want you to go and get 3 no's. We want you to approach people and offer a program that's not even a real program. Offer a made-up program, but you have to charge an obscene amount of money, like $3,000 or $5,000 or whatever it was for the weekend. And here I was starting off my career consulting practice. And I remembered that like charging somebody $3,000 for a weekend for time with me just seemed like it would be absurd and nobody would pay it. But the goal was to get 3 no's. So that way you'd be comfortable with it. Just go out and ask people. And the intention is that they say no. Well, of course, I go to the first person and I'm shaking. I'm like so nervous, I can barely get the words out. I'm like, would you do this thing? And the person is like, are you high? What is wrong with you? No, I don't want to do this. I'm like, okay, I got my one no down. Then you go to the next person. Okay, you're a little more confident. So I'm offering this program for $3,000 per weekend. What are you talking about? No. And so you get to the second person. Now you go to the third person, the last guy that I asked at this Hilton SFO conference hotel. I said to him, I'm offering this career consulting program. It's a 3-day weekend program for $3,000. He said, great. I'd love to do it. When is it? And I was like, oh my God, it's made up. I remember being so confronted by the fact that somebody had just said yes, and that I had to deal with the fact that I was that valuable, even in a made up sense, before I really knew what my value was in the market.
I love that. It's, it's funny you mentioned that, because we've had a lot of people actually who will create a product and go to sell it online before it's actually been created, just to see if there's demand. And we see a lot of people who use ClickFunnels who are like, you know what? I don't even know if people are interested in this thing. So they just put it up there, and sure enough, they'll get orders in like, oh, man, now I've got to actually go out and create that. And I think it, these days, you'd be surprised what you can – there's a lot of people who have interest in what you might think isn't that big of a deal. And I think it's important for people to realize you actually have a skill set. You have a superpower that's of value, and you're most likely undervaluing and underappreciating the value you actually could bring to the marketplace.
Yeah, and it can be confrontational. And, you know, the other thing I see with so many people is just the scarcity and lack and limitation. Like, for Constant Contact, you're going to spend $65 or whatever it is a month just to have a CRM contact management system.
Yeah.
And I meet so many people who are so afraid to invest in themselves, or they feel guilty about it. Oh, I'm a bad person if I go do a workshop in San Fran, or if I spend that sort of money on myself or whatever it is. And but if you look at anybody, Jeff Bezos or whoever out in the world, Elon Musk, you had to go out and make an initial investment. And, you know, you might try and you might fail, and then you have to go back and rebuild and then create something new. But it's in every failure that you have an opportunity to rebuild something from scratch.
I totally agree. The best investment is always in yourself. I don't think anybody should put any money into the stock market or Bitcoin or anything else until they're willing to invest in themselves first and go develop a skill. It'll more than pay for itself.
I love that, Dave. Well, you've given us a lot of food for thought. I'm so happy we've had some time to talk about our superpowers today. Were there any other tidbits or points or takeaways that you would love anybody tuning into today's show to walk away with today?
I think the main thing is, it kind of ties into what you were just saying just a few minutes ago, and that is to understand the value that you actually have. I believe everyone's given God-given talents and skills. And as you focus on your strengths and spend more time in those areas, you'll find that they're actually very marketable, and people will pay you for your services and pay you for your knowledge and your experience. I think you're given trials in life for that reason as well, that you go through those trials and you learn through those trials, and it's your experience then to go help others by providing value to them.
Yeah, and pay it forward. And I love what you said, too, about starting off doing things for free. I was just mentoring somebody on how to get started in speaking. And I explained to her recently that when I first started speaking, I just did as many pro bono speaking engagements anywhere I could get them. It didn't matter if I was paid or not. And I remember I would use the Microsoft Store. I don't know if they still offer this, but if you're out there and you're thinking of building your brand, the Microsoft Store was amazing. And they would allow me to teach these classes in the back for free and use this huge PowerPoint computer screen. And I started to build a following, and it gave me an opportunity to practice. And then, you know, now I've been doing paid speaking for 3 or 4, maybe 5 years. I don't remember. But it's awesome because you kind of start off by building and paying it forward. And I will leave everybody with this as well. I think it's so important that even if you do get paid and you are getting your value, it's always important to pay it forward in some way, or to give back to the community, or to mentor other people if it's for free or at a reduced rate or whatever that looks like, because you always want to help the people who helped you get started. So I think that's something important to always keep in the back of your mind.
I totally agree with you on that.
And so if somebody were to want to join ClickFunnels or connect with you, where would they go to do that?
Just go straight to clickfunnels.com. There's a survey on the side, and you can fill that out. 2 or 3 questions. We'll actually send you 3 funnels that are already pre-built for you. And all you need to do is just change the pictures, change the text, and you're up and running.
Awesome. Perfect. So again, we've had with us today on the show, Dave Woodford. Dave is the Chief Business Development Officer and Chief Revenue Officer over at ClickFunnels. So if you're toying around with having a side business, or maybe you just want to follow your passion, discover your superpower, this might be one way that you could do it. So thank you again for joining us today, Dave. It was a pleasure. And wishing everybody else out there a wonderful rest of your week. If you missed any portion of today's show, you can always find it immediately following the show on the latalkradio.com website, and go to Get Yourself the Job page. And at the bottom under the archives are this show as well as any prior shows that we've done. Otherwise, you can always go to iTunes, and later in the week, you can find this show and all of our prior shows are available under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. And you can just click and listen at your leisure. And of course, we always appreciate any feedback or comments that you might have. So thank you for everybody who tuned in today. And thanks again, Dave, for joining us.
Thanks.
Listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.